Hallelujah.
All right. You're welcome to church. Good evening. Nice seeing you again. Welcome. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. Thank you for this hour, this moment. Thank you because we receive your word with thanksgiving. And most importantly, we do not take it lightly. But as we hear, it is mixed with faith in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So Seth Man is ready for another appointment. Yes, now. When one assignment finishes, another one is starting. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. So, oftentimes, when I stand here to, sometimes when I stand here to minister, I just wonder if what I'm saying is making sense at all. Hallelujah. But, and every time that happens, God always just says, it's not about what you are saying, it's about my word. Hallelujah. And so last week when I was it last week? I came here and I was talking, practically 80% of what I said, I didn't prepare for it. Okay? It was, as I got in there, and God said, this much you have prepared, and this is what I wanted to say. So I said, but why didn't you tell me before now, this dying minute? And then I looked at it, said, I'm like, he must have been telling me that this is not it. And I've been the one, it was when I was stable and I was able to concentrate that he was able to get my attention. So I went into what he was showing me. And when I came here, I delivered and I was like, well, thank you, Father, I have delivered. And I went home. 2-3 days after, and then someone sent me a very long message. And when I see those kind of messages, I don't read them. It's like, what's all this again? But when I started when I read the first four lines, I was like, okay, there's something interesting about this. And it was just simply about the word of God that the person heard right then, that day, that I thought, why didn't you just tell me before now? And the person said, oh, I've veered away from what God had called me to. And thank you for, the person now said, thank you for obeying. And I was like, so God now told the person again that his obedience. Hallelujah. He just said, thank you for yielding and all that. And it's just amazing when God works and when you allow him to work. You know something, that it's not everybody, you are acquainted with everybody, and it's not everybody that you know. So if you're acquainted with someone, doesn't mean you know the person. So, for instance, when you call me all my names, if you call me all the names that people call me, not the ones that my parents have given me, all these names that all of you call me, I will know where we met, okay? But if it's this new generation, all these Gen Z children, I will know they are copying other people. So I have three very critical names. And those names, one I got from secondary school, the other one I got in the university, and the last one I got when I was serving. And there were three critical names. And the third critical name is the name that all of you call me now. Okay? But I know the origin of each name. So if I see someone that I do not recognize, and the person happens to mention that name, I know that we have had an encounter somewhere. Okay? So the one that my very old friends call me, that's the one my mom calls me. So when my mom wants to get my attention, or she wants to make a joke or something light, she's going to call me that name. And then everybody's going to be like, oh, okay. Now, knowing somebody is different from getting acquainted with that person. When you know somebody, it's very deep. It's just like when I argue with you that your name is not blessed, you wonder and say, what's wrong with this man? Because this is the name that you know all the way. And I mean, who was I asking? I think it was my son or my daughter. I said, are you sure I'm your father? And then it's like, I said, what are you saying now? Yeah. He said, my mother told me that you're my father. I said, okay, fine. There are certain things that you do not. And then on Sunday, we were looking at the scriptures and we're talking about sometimes and never in the kind of language that we use. And we have to be very careful when we use certain words in English language. So someone will say, I know you. I know you is too deep. It's too deep to say for someone that you met casually. Okay? So all the people that were in class with me, either from secondary school or the ones even the last set of people in university, only one person can say that I know you. Do you understand? Out of, I think we were 15 class, only one. Okay, two. Two. But only one is still standing now with the head on the neck, if you understand what I mean. Okay, only one can say that I know you. That one can tell you what I can do, what I will do at any point in time. Okay, in any situation, they will tell you that, oh, no, this is it. And in that, it's that same understanding that he uses anytime he needs anything from me. So he's the only person that can call me at 3 a.m. and say, I want to see you at 5 a.m. now. And then I'm going to get up. Okay? The last time he did that was about a year ago when we were preparing to lay his father to rest. And then he called me around 2 a.m. and said, I need you now in my house. I said, Oga, you can't come now. I said, I can't come now. This is 2 a.m. He said, come as early as you can. So I think around 4 a.m., I woke my wife up and said, you know what, I have to go. And he said, must you go? I said, I have to go. Okay? And then I went. And when I got there, the heap of work he wanted me to do, it was only somebody that he knows that will deliver, that can do that work. Amen. Hallelujah. From going to pick his father's body, getting everybody set. My friend is I don't understand him at all. So for that burial, we were the ones that packed the food. You understand? Because it was a takeaway. We were the ones that packed it. So early in the morning, some people were packing, and then he was supervising. And at the same time, we had to go and pick the body. At the same time, he must dress up. And then he just needed somebody that would be able to help him manage all things. And so we were working as if we were in the factory. As we were packing that box that we gave to you, remember that box? We were the ones that packed it, everything, all the 400 and whatever. So you can imagine. Now, when we were done, okay, he was saying thank you. And then his wife smiled. He said, because that's the only person that he can call, that can come at that point. Amen. You need to know people. When you know people, you can tell and you can be very confident about the outcome of whatever you're expecting from them. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's important that we understand these things as it relates to God and to Christ. We cannot be acquainted with God. Sasa Jerry was saying something about his mom. Okay? I also remember that there was a time that my mom was not feeling fine. It's not when there is crisis that we begin to pray. Abi? When my father died, there was a lot of pandemonium. This one, this your auntie is wicked, this one is a witch, blah, 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 don't go there, blah, blah. So we were all in the house, in the room. Oh no, we're in the house. And then my sister came home and she came with her friends. They went to our own room. I was in my room with a friend. And then they were just praying. They were just praying. They were praying in tongues. I was just laughing that these people are not serious. We have so many things to do. There were about five in the room. We have so many things to do. I think this last minute that you all know that you have to pray. All the prayer, when the man died about 3 or 4 months before then, and then the day to the burial or the day to the wake up, that's when you know you want to pray. I was laughing at them that I don't understand all this drama. I went, come out, we need to pack. People, guests are coming, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to do that. Anything you want to pray about, if you know God, that's not the time that you'll be sweating. Because you will step into these things with ease. I hope you get what I'm saying. Because now, some people will say they are increasing the tempo of their prayer. I'm not saying it's wrong, though. But if you have not been praying before, or you have not been working with him before, that's not the time you say you are increasing the tempo of your praying. Because for all you know, those things are just done in fear, not in faith. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter, I'll read two stories. And don't forget Romans 15 verse 4, very critical. John chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 8, NKJV. Okay, let me read from verse 5 so I give context to it. It says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered to them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? Verse 13. But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For these reasons, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father had been working until now, and I have been working. Amen. First thing first, the sick man, when he was having a conversation with Christ, but he did not know. Okay? He said, when Christ approached him and said, do you want to be made well? The sick man just answered and was telling him stories about why he had been there for so long. Okay? If you had understood or if you had known that this is Christ or had an inclination that this is Christ, he wouldn't have gone that route. But he was going to go to paint a pity party picture to be able to tell him that, look, this is why I'm still here. Nobody to help me. And of course, we know the story that the angel comes and stands up and whoever first gets into the water first will be healed. And then Bible says that Jesus told him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the man simply obeyed. Amen. It's not so much about his action. It was about his response to the people that came to him and were querying him that, why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath? Okay? He said, the one who made me well said I should take my bed and walk. Amen. That's for somebody that would be his first encounter with Christ. Hallelujah. And he did not know. But it was important for Christ. And it's important for Christ that we all know him. And so Christ, he said, he disappeared in the midst of the crowd because there was a multitude of people. And then he went back and he sought him out and told him how to sustain what he has. In verse 14, he says, afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. And then the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Amen. It was important for him to let the man know that this is how to sustain what you have. And of course, by that time, I mean, he said he went back and told them that it was Jesus that made him well. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9. There's a story of the conversion of Paul, from Saul to Paul. And if you read, if you're conversant with that part of the Bible, Acts chapter 9, okay, from verse 3. Okay, let me just take from verse 1. It says, Saul was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether man or woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3 is where I want to read from. It says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Amen. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the gods. Hallelujah. Amen. So first of all, the knowledge, every story that Paul or Saul had about Christ, okay, all he knew about him, all he had read in this, in the books about him, and all the persecuting, he did not exactly know Christ. Amen. He had no encounter with him. Hallelujah. He just understood that there's somebody and there's something that they call the way. He was not exactly into Christ as that. Hallelujah. And I'm saying that when a lot of people talk about things, it does not exactly mean that they know about it or they know what they are exactly saying. Hallelujah. He was persecuting, okay? He had had no encounter. It was just based on all the things around him that he was doing. And when Christ appeared to him, he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And immediately what he said is, Who are you, Lord? And I know there that the Lord he was saying it was because he couldn't see. And then, of course, that person is at the mercy of whatever had appeared to him. And then he said, Who are you, Lord? And Christ was saying that, look, it's better that, he says, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the gods. Hallelujah. Amen. I understand that G-O-A-D-S is like a stick that has spikes that is used to beat. Is it horses or something like that? But, I mean, for you to know that they have spikes. So just imagine all these spikes that we put on the top of our gate or our fence, and a stick has that, and you want to kick against it. And he's saying, Why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against God. Hallelujah. Amen. Meaning that you cannot, when you do kick or persecute him, you are just going to end up hurting yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. So the important thing was for you to understand who you are dealing with and then the way to go. But Saul just said, Who are you, Lord? Because that this, I mean, you know, sometimes when people, when you see films, and then some people, you see someone that has more authority or more, has overpowered you, you just immediately just said, Oga, I'm master. Hallelujah. You just raise up your hand and say, Yes, you're master. And that's what happened to him here. Okay? But interesting thing is that if you read further down in this story, while Saul was waiting for Ananias to come, the Bible said he was praying. And then when God was going to talk to Ananias, he said, There's a Saul somewhere that is praying, okay? And then I began to wonder, how did he know to pray? Hallelujah. Amen. How did he know at that point to pray? Because he had an encounter. And whatever encounter he had with God, his eyes of understanding had been enlightened. And then a channel had been opened. And of course, everything about him had to change at that point when he had an encounter with Christ. Let's go to verse 10. Verse 10, it says, Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. Amen. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Amen. Hallelujah. He's praying so that he might receive his sight. So at that point, the little encounter that he had with the power of God was enough to change his course of reasoning. Hallelujah. Ordinarily, you know, some people are very stubborn. I've seen when people, I mean, you think that, okay, this is the wall. This guy has reached the wall. He's just going to surrender. And then they keep arguing. For the kind of person he was, I mean, that the fact that he couldn't see, he could still just continue to say no. Right? He could just continue to say no. I'm done with this thing. I'm going to get everything back. I mean, you know the way people deceive themselves. But at this point, he was at his wit's end. He had to surrender everything. Hallelujah. And God, Christ was saying to him that, look, when you get here, so he said he was praying so that you receive his sight. And then the Bible says that, and in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So in the vision, what Paul was seeing while he was praying was that one man named Ananias was coming. Hallelujah. So imagine if he got, and then the person got there and it's not Ananias and he didn't receive his sight. He will go back to status quo. Amen. Hallelujah. So, and God is always very direct. God doesn't weave things for us to hide things once we are with him. Amen. It's those that do not have an understanding that things are woven and then they are hidden. God is as simple as he is. Amen. We just need language to confuse ourselves. I told you, my friend and I, when we were in school, if I want to tell him that there's a serious problem, we had a joke that we always crack. So that everybody around us will not know that there's a problem. I'll just tell him, sucker, my magnanimous conflagration is consuming my dominite. That's all I'll say. And everybody will be laughing. But he knows. He knows that there's trouble, that Muiwa is in trouble. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if he says it, I know that he's in trouble. So the last time, one day, I had not heard from him in a long time. And I was like, let me just try this guy, if you remember. I don't know, maybe like a year or so. So I just took my phone. I'll call him in one pick. I just took my phone and I sent him that text and I said, sucker, blah, blah, blah. In half a second, he called. And I started laughing. And when I was going to do it, I told my wife, I said, if he remembers, he'll call. And then in half a second, he called. And then I just started laughing. I said, please, please, please. Don't ever make a joke out of this thing again. Anytime I see it, I said, but why have I been calling that you have not been picking? Amen. Hallelujah. Because we know ourselves. If he calls me now and he doesn't say anything like that, I'll say something in passing. I won't take it serious. Okay? But once he does that, it's fine. I'll take it serious. And he'll take it serious as well. Now, in this part of the scripture, okay, Christ has the attention of Saul. And Saul was praying. Nobody taught him to pray. I don't know what he was saying while he was praying. But I know that it was the one thing that was on his mind was that he should receive his sight. And at that point, Christ was also dealing with him. Because he was in a vision. Amen. He was in a vision. So for those days that he was waiting for his sight to be restored, he would have been having an encounter with God. Hallelujah. And Christ, and when Ananias was going to be like, in verse 13, he says, then Ananias answered, said, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name. Amen. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. I'll read from verse 23 and 24. It says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Amen. He says, but let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in this I delight, says the Lord. Hallelujah. It is important to God that we know him and that we understand him. Amen. It is important. And it has to be important to us as well. And if we don't search the scriptures and we don't walk with him on a consistent basis. Okay? Understanding and knowing will be far away from us. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are set in your ways, some people will say they can easily tell who you are. That once I approach you, this is going to be your response. And I think I told you the other time that once my brother calls, all of you can just tell the way I will respond. I just respond to him and tell you no. Everything about him is no. Okay? And if he does something, there's no excuse. I just tell him no. You know? So there was one day that he called my mom. And then when I called my mom, okay, my mom was scared of the response. And so when I was down telling her, and I started preaching to my mom, I was not now preaching to her that leave him now. Everybody has a time, trying times and all that. And then she was like, what happened to you? She said, what happened to you? And I said, no, I mean, it's not all the time that we need to crucify you. And she couldn't just believe it. Are you sure? She said, this is what he did. I said, yes, I know what he did because he told me what he did. And then that was just it. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to get to a point where what God said here in Jeremiah 9:24, he says that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. Amen. Hallelujah. If we have his nature, then these three things that he talked about will also be paramount to us. Amen. Especially loving kindness. Okay? And loving kindness and righteousness. It will be paramount to us. When in Genesis chapter 1, if you read from chapter 1, and then he said, let's go there. Let me not paraphrase. Genesis chapter 1. And we go to verse 22. Okay, verse 24. He said, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to his kind, cattle and creeping thing and the beast of the earth, each according to his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to his kind, cattle according to his kind, and God saw that it was good. Then in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Hallelujah. Amen. So everything that he made before then brought forth his kind. Okay? And God said, look, let's make man in our own image, just after our kind. Hallelujah. Amen. So he was going to bring forth his own kind. So how do you call it now? No, I don't want to say every child of God, the one that has been reconciled to God, has the nature of God. It's not every human being. Hallelujah. Because if it's every human being, some people are not reconciled, okay? They have not accepted Christ and they are not back to where God wanted us to be from the beginning. And in the beginning, what he wanted was for you and I to have a relationship with him, which is what understanding and knowing him is all about. Amen. The Bible, in the book of Genesis, it records that he comes down in the cool of the evening and then he will have a chat with Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. Amen. So he sought to have that fellowship. And it's that fellowship that once we are restored, we should not break. Amen. It's that fellowship with him that is important. That's when you get to know him. All this I'm telling you, my friend, I've known him now how many years? 96, whatever, from 1996 to date. Huh? He said 28 years. Okay. I've known him for 28 years. And the ones that we brought after our own kind, in fact, when we were going to marry, okay, so he got married before me, okay, although I had experience about relationship before him, he got married before me. But when we were going to marry, he called his wife to me and said, this is Muiwa. Anything I do, go to him if you think it's bad, okay? Or if you have anything, go to him. And then when I was going to get married, I told my wife the same thing. I said, this is him. Hallelujah. And then we would make a lot of jokes. And then when we started having children, even the children know now that if there's a problem, this is the person you will call. You're not going to call my brother. You're not going to call my sister. You're going to call him. And even his children know that, look, this is how these men have chosen to live this life. So when things are down and it's so difficult, he's just going to tell you. I told you that he's such a busy man that he doesn't leave his work. But when I gave birth to Temiloluwa, the day when I called, I said, my wife has delivered. I called him at, I think, 9:30 a.m. He was in the hospital by 10:30. He brought his laptop. In fact, he brought his office, his laptop and his bag, and sat in the hospital and was with us. And he was talking and he was working. And then his wife was with him. And I said, no, you can go to your office. He said, no. This is very important. And I smiled. He came before the whole family could gather. And I thought, okay, that's the end of it. On the day of this naming ceremony, by early morning, he was there with his bag and then he said, I'll be working, I'll do what I need to do. When you know people and when you understand people, that's the kind of extent you can go to. Amen. And if you say you truly understand God and you know him, the things that he expects of you and I to do, we will go all the way to do it. Now, these things I'm telling you about my friend, all he's doing is to maintain that relationship. Because he owes me, he can just say, well done, and then he shows up for 1 or 2 hours and he goes, okay? Or if there's a problem, he calls me and then we talk about it and he goes. But he understands that this goes beyond just saying, well done, or okay, congratulations. Because there's a foundation and then there's an understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the Bible says that he made us, and that's why in the book of Romans, the Bible talks about the fact that if you look at nature, you'll be able to see the invisible attributes of God. Okay? Because those things are made, they can be seen in nature. Hallelujah. In the things that they have created. So, Genesis chapter 1 tells us that he made man in his image and in his likeness. So, if he says that all he wants is that you understand and you know me, and he's the one that, righteousness, judgment, and loving kindness are things that are important to him, those things also ought to be important to you. Amen. Hallelujah. In John chapter 10, from verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. For the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I am known by my own. Amen. Christ didn't say that I am the shepherd. Hallelujah. He said, I am the good shepherd. Meaning that there will be bad shepherds. Hallelujah. And that's why he said that the one that is hired to take care of sheep, of course, everybody would think that that's the shepherd, okay? Because he's tending them. But he says, when push comes to shove, that one that is hired, he will flee when there's a problem. But the good shepherd, when there are issues, the good shepherd is there. And I think Pastor Asholu dealt with that the other day and explained to us a great deal about who a shepherd is. But he says that good shepherd remains. He stays with the sheep. He says, I know them and I am known by my own. Amen. And the way his own knows him is by dealing with his word the way that his word comes. Hallelujah. And everybody is pretty much important to God. Everybody. That's why he says the grace of God has appeared to all men. All men. Okay? And then those who will have faith will accept it. In the book of John, so Matthew, Sorry, the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Amen. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. And often people will say, ah, I've been asking for so many things. And I think we should all catch the bug that in Psalm 23, okay? The Bible says, I shall not want. Hallelujah. Okay? So you get an understanding and knowing that God supplies all your needs. You shall not want. Hallelujah. But what he wants is that you and I will have a relationship with him and we worship him. And if you will get everything that you want, if you stay in the place of worship, things will come to you. Amen. When Paul and Silas were in prison, okay, they were praying and they were worshiping God. They were not telling God to release them from prison. They just simply woke up and would do what they would naturally do because they know God. Okay? So irrespective of their position, okay, or irrespective of their physical position or their mental strength or their emotional stress, they will just get up and worship God. Now, in the place of worship, in Judah is God known. In worship is God known, okay? In the place of worship, God is going to arise, hallelujah. And whatever God wills at the point that you're worshiping him, he will do, amen. So God knows the end from the beginning, okay? And everything in between. But what you should do is to know that this God is not waiting for you to be crying that this is what you need. Hallelujah. Amen. See, when he says ask and you shall be given, okay? Now people will come and say, ah, I've been asking all these days. I've not seen anything. Amen. See, James came to solve the problem in James chapter 4. So Matthew 7-8 talks about asking. James chapter 4 is saying this. It says, from verse 1, it says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Hallelujah. Amen. See, if you have stopped at the fact that you ask amiss. If that last sentence was not there, I probably would not have bothered about talking about it. Okay? But it says that this you're asking amiss is because you want to spend it on your pleasures. So if you look at all the things that you ever pray for and you demand for, there's nothing that is outside of your pleasure. And so if that's what you'll be doing in place of prayer, know that you're asking amiss. If everything that you're going to do there is to ask for it to satisfy your pleasure, you will be asking amiss. Hallelujah. Amen. If people get up and are burdened about the people of God, okay? If people get up and worship God for who he is, the psalmist says in Psalm 150, I'll praise you according to your excellent greatness. Hallelujah. He says according to God's excellent greatness. That's how you praise him. Now, it takes an understanding for you to wake up and say, I'll praise you according to his excellent greatness. Because you cannot match, that your praise cannot match that excellent greatness of God. Because you can't fathom it. When you think you have reached a realm, then you get to another realm and you'll be like, wow, there's still more to this God. So when in the place of praising him, okay, in the place of worshiping him, you are moving from one level of understanding to another. Because your mind will be flooded by his excellent greatness. Hallelujah. Amen. The things that we truly think that we truly need. Where we are today, as a result of the things we did in the past, what will be tomorrow as a result of the things we are doing today. If you really think we need anything, or we want anything. Look at what the Bible says in John chapter 3. It says in verse 27, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. So oftentimes, everything we do, and that's why the Bible says, just say by his grace. So the things we think that we have and that we are holding on to is because heaven has released it to them, released them to us. Hallelujah. It's not by our doing. So sometimes we say, oh, you put one and one together and you make two. Or you put one and one together and you make one. It's not about what you're permutating. It's that because what you are doing is aligning with God. Hallelujah. Amen. I was telling somebody put a post, and it's you people that made me looking at all these posts. I don't want to say I should be liking something. Somebody put a post and they just think that he had no understanding. See, principles of God are principles of God. If anybody is giving, he will receive. Hallelujah. You don't need to be born again to give and to receive. Hallelujah. Because it's just simply God's word. Huh? See, the Bible does not say that the one that will stand before me, amen, is the one that knows God or is born again. It says that a man diligent in his works. Hallelujah. And that's why you have to, for us, the advantage we have is that when we do these things that ordinary man would do, because we know him, amen, we are doing it with better understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. So ordinarily, I will know what to give towards. I will give towards every good cause because of my understanding of the scriptures and of God. Hallelujah. Amen. The things that we have were given to us by God. And if you're going to be praying and going to be asking, let's not ask amiss to satisfy our pleasures. Let understanding and knowing him be very critical to us, at least it's to him. He said, I want you to understand and to know me. If he says that's what he wants, why do we want something else? Amen. Understand and know me. So we've been doing, for some years now, we've been doing read the scripture, read the Bible in 1 year, right? By now, we expect that at least we'll have read the Bible in 1 year once. Now, some people will just read and say, they say we should read the Bible. They'll read the chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. We are not saying to read the Bible like that. When you read it, you're going to stimulate your appetite. Because certain things will jump at you. And if you read it prayerfully, amen. We'll read these scriptures that we have read today. If you read it tomorrow, something else will come out of them for you. Because that's the way God is. And that's why I said that if you praise him according to his external things, and when you get to a point, you will see that point you are getting to is like you're entering another door and a whole lot of revelation coming up. Amen. Saul did not know God. He did not know Christ. He was just warring against who he did not know. Amen. He just had the knowledge that, look, this Christ came and said, is the way. Anybody that says, is the way, I'm going to take out. And then he was chief. But immediately, he understood who Christ was, or is, rather. Immediately understood that same energy, or even greater, he put into propagating the gospel. And that was God said, I'll set him aside and I'll show you the things you have to suffer for my sake and for the sake of the gospel. Hallelujah. You know, some of us, we have to be zealous with knowledge. I was hearing somebody today, and it was a good course, honestly. But I don't know why I was laughing at the woman. So I saw her run across the office, and she came to one of these pods that we sit in. And then she was really talking to the guy, that, why are you cursing? Why? She was trying to pacify the guy, and then she was getting angry. You know, when you're rebuking somebody, you're angry. And I was going to tell her that, if you continue this way, the person on the other end of the call will always bring up something that is, it will always put up a font, because you won't get across your message this way. The guy was cursing on the other side, and she was saying, no, you're a Christian, you're not supposed to curse. But even in what she was doing, she was angry and was telling this guy angrily. Amen. But there's very gentle ways of doing it. See, when Christ arrested Saul, there was no fight about it. He just have to make things plain and simple. Okay? If you look at everything in this life, everything in the world, even the inventions of man, when they start everything from basics. Hallelujah. So if you are going to break down everything, it goes back to the basics. Let me tell you something. As simple as the cars, you know, there was a time I visited a relative of mine and we were stuck in snow. The car would not open. And we were at a loss what to do. Me, I can't blame myself because the car me I'm used to in Nigeria is the one that use key. You know, the one that you turn the key this way and then the lock will jump up. You know those cars? That's 180B and 180K of those days. But this person has been driving this remote control car for long. So when I got there, I was just at her, and then we came out of the car, we locked the car, and the car won't open. And she was just so upset. Everything, blah, 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 blah. But if you look at the door handle, there's a keyhole. But she was just busy fighting with the remote. Because the car has advanced, it's not complex, Abby. And so, but luckily, God wanted to save me, not her. He wanted to save me from snow. She picked up her phone and then called the car company. She wasn't even calling for help. She was calling to rake for them. That how can I buy a 2005 model of a car and the remote will just suddenly stop working and I'm in the snow, blah, 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 blah. And the gentleman on the other side made sure that she satisfied all the anger on the inside of her. He said, "Ma'am, is the remote with you?" He said, "Yes. If you turn the remote this way and you press this knob, the key will come out." And she was like, "Oh my God." And then the key popped out and she turned the key and we were back in the car. Now, because she had lost the basics that even this remote that we have is turning a latch. It happened to me here. I think two months ago, one of the children entered the car, pulled the car lock anyhow, and then to shut the door, he had locked the car without shutting the door. So the lock had latched. So if you lock it, the thing will bang and then the car can close. And then, as I was trying to figure it out, I went to the other door. I opened it. I pulled the latch. And then the other door couldn't close. So there are two doors at the back that couldn't close. And I said, you people will hold the door. We'll be going home like that. But, you know, and I said, God, this door cannot defeat me now. What's happening? God now said, pull the handle again. From the inside, not from the outside. Because the problem came from the outside. Now I said, pull from the inside. It was very simple. When you shut the door and it locks, the latch will close. If you want to open it, you open it from the inside and it will open. It was that simple. All these things that we are talking about, they are simple blocks that have given us these 1,000 and something pages. Hallelujah. But they are simple blocks. If you will always go back to the foundation, these first principles of everything, you will get a solution. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I always like to tell you that the body will continue in state of rest. Or what? This is surgery. Your syllabus is always different. A body will continue in state of rest. Or what? No, there's one more condition. Ah, yeah. A body will continue in state of rest. Or uniform motion. So, is that he's standing? Or it has a uniform motion, unless an external force is applied. That external force that we need, we can only get it from God. Things will continue the way they are, except we enter that God realm, okay? And that external force, we apply it. Hallelujah. But if we don't apply that external force, that is either that thing stays there, or it continues to move. Uniform motion, that's what it is. So it means that if a body is accelerating, you know that motion is not uniform. Amen. You have to understand that back to the basics, that's where God wants us to be, is to worship Him and to know Him. That's when things begin to happen. Amen. When we label people men of God, and we label them mighty men of God, big man of God, if you go back to their life, it is found on these basic principles that are very simple for us all to build on. If they will tell you, hallelujah. I was talking to, Sedman always tells us that Pastor talks, prays, he sleeps and prays. Abi? So I was talking to Pastor Oji's daughter. He said, is he doing it though? Because she stayed with him. Said she's still doing it. He's where he's sleeping, he's praying. Hallelujah. And then tomorrow, when that kind of person steps out and things begin to happen, everybody begins to wonder. And then we'll label it mighty. But there's a place of pain and work. To him, it's no longer pain. It's just life. Hallelujah. It's just the way those are teachers. They just come and write formulas. The one for physics, we come write formula. The one for maths, we come write formula. The one, this one, everybody, and then they expect us to know everything. Hallelujah. But the one for mathematics, is only mathematics is doing, you know. It's a joro. But you and I must know everything. Hallelujah. When we do things from foundational point of view, leave all the complexities. You know that soko-soko that I told you about, soko-soko, a magnanimous conflagration is consuming my dynamite. What does it mean? It's help, help. There's a mighty fire that is burning in my house. That's all. Why must I go all the way soko-soko? So that you will not understand. Hallelujah. Amen. God says, I want you to understand and know me. So you need to tell yourself that I have to pace myself after God. Amen. You know what pace yourself after God is? Do you march? Did you march when you were in school? It's only Mr. Sajiri. Did you march when you were in school? It's not the kind of march that these children are doing today. They're not marching, no. It's only those that go to camp, paramilitary, that march. They will tell you that you take a dressing from the right, and you pace yourself from the right. Meaning that as the person on your right, if the person, you have to be aligned with the person on your right. If you see that you are a bit behind, you must move forward so that, and if everybody does that, it aligns, it's a straight line. And you don't have to turn your head, you corner of your eye, you can tell if this person is out of line or not. You need to pace yourself with God. Hallelujah. So God will be on the right, and then you are following Him. Amen. So when it looks like everyone is falling, everyone is not falling because you know that you are pacing yourself with God. Every other person around you, like I keep telling people, the people that should be surprised when a lame man begins to walk or the blind begins to see are the people that don't understand the God that we serve. Hallelujah. They should be the ones that will be, wow, amen. We, when we see it, we say, thank you, Father, because you hear us always. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's rise to our feet. Let's just talk to God. What's important to God should be important to us. And if it's knowing Him and understanding Him that is important, there's a channel that He uses, and that is His word. Thank Him, because as we dig, as we open the scriptures, it catches our attention. Hallelujah. And He ministers to us as we work with Him on a daily basis. Thank Him for, indeed, our lives will not remain the same again, even with our encounter with Him. Will do the things that please Him. The Bible says that I do the things that I see my Father do. Christ walked in that manner. In John chapter 5, verse 19, He said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does, in like manner. And if we are joint hands with him, whatever God does, we should do in like manner. Let's talk to him. And understanding him will not be a Herculean task for us. But as we walk on a daily basis, just day by day, by precept, we get to understand him the more. Father, we thank you and glorify your name. Not for the things you do for us, but for who we are. So we acknowledge you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.